Joining me now for Morning Edition's weekly political discussion is NPR News analyst Cokie Roberts. Good morning, Cokie.
Good morning, Renee.
Some Democrats think George Bush got a lift from yesterday's announcement by Ralph Nader that he's running for president. What do you think?
I think that's true, even if Nader doesn't do anywhere near as well as he did 4 years ago, and there's every reason to believe he won't. He can still only hurt the Democrats. As you just heard in Juan's piece, Bush has a huge advantage in terms of money. He expects to his campaign expects to start running ads as soon as March 4th. And so the Democrats have an uphill battle as it is. Even so, there's every reason to believe it's going to be a very close election. And a few votes in a few precincts can tip the scales in a state. And since we're talking about winner-take-all in a state and with the Electoral College, that can make an enormous difference. It doesn't have to be the numbers as big as they were the last time around when Ralph Nader got 97,000 votes in Florida and George Bush won by 537. Now, he says it's contemptuous to call him a spoiler. The two major parties, he says, don't own this system. And his website, votenader.org, says please show the courtesy to people to say that they might want another choice. But, you know, the other effect can be when you have somebody out there saying there's not a dime's worth of difference between the candidates, that people stay home. That happened in 1968 with Hubert Humphrey, where liberals in the party, the same way with Nader, were saying there was no difference, and Humphrey lost by a very slim margin.
Ralph Nader does seem to have a point about the two-party system in congressional seats.
He does indeed. The fact is that the district lines of congressional seats are drawn as an incumbent protection conspiracy between the parties, and there are hardly any contested seats at all for Congress. And it does result in some voters feeling shut out. It's also a problem for governance once the members are elected and come here to Washington, because they don't have any need to listen to anybody who disagrees with them, so that it contributes greatly to the polarization. But I don't see that changing anytime soon.
But why do you think third parties fare so badly in American politics?
I think partly the major parties make it very hard for third parties. It's hard to get on ballots. It's hard to attract attention. But and generally, the third parties that have had some success have been regionally based, and then eventually one of the two major parties absorbs it in one way or another. Now, that could change in this world of instant media and the Internet and all of that. And remember, in 1992, before the conventions, Ross Perot was leading in all of the polls. And then when he pulled out, that changed the dynamic. But still, his vote and Bill Clinton's certainly swamped George H.W. Bush, because people were saying that they wanted a change. But, you know, I can't prove this by data, Renee, but it's a great big country. It's diverse in so many ways. I think that there's some sort of inchoate sense of stability in just having two political parties, and a sense that if it were politically all over the map, as some very homogeneous European countries are, that could be a recipe for disunion.
Cokie, thanks very much. NPR News analyst Cokie Roberts.